This is Doug Miller. Shall we continue our discussion about baptism? Stick around. Let's talk about the Bible.
Communication. Of all God's creatures, man does it best, and he does it through the medium of language, both written and spoken. Dialogue is a program dedicated to the belief that God has communicated truthfully with the most intelligent of his earthly creatures, man. We therefore invite you to enter into dialogue as we discuss the principles, truths, and foundations of God's Word. Now here's your host, Dr. Doug Miller.
Thank you, Paul. That was Paul Sublett. This is Doug Miller. The program is Dialogue, and we are back with you one more time, Bible in hand, to enlighten, to instruct, and probably to offend a little bit, although that's certainly not my purpose. We urge you to come along, open up your Bibles to Acts chapter 2, verse 41, and we will, as I indicated, continue what we began last week. We will discuss, probably for the rest of this morning, the subject of baptism. What is it? What does it do? What form should it take? Is this an important subject? It is tremendously important. So call a friend, tell them to listen in. And I always tell you this, but here it comes again. Dialogue is brought to you every week at this time by Dialogue Ministries Incorporated, a nonprofit organization that exists solely for the purpose of seeing this word go out, and we are utterly and absolutely dependent on our listeners for prayer support, for support to keep us going out there, and we urge you, please, write down Dialogue and pray for us, and tell others about us. You're the only advertising budget that we have no advertising budget. You're it. So tell others about us. And we would always love to hear from you. Dialogue, Post Office Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma, 73083. And if you didn't get that, Paul Sublett will give it to you again at the end of the broadcast. We also invite you to log on to our webpage just to learn a little bit more about us. That's dialogueministries.org, dialogueministries.org. If you put .com, you won't get us. All right. Open up your Bibles to chapter 2 of Acts. And friends, I really feel like I need to tell you this. I am a peace-loving man. If there's anything I don't like, it's controversy. If there's anything I would love to do, it would be to get along with everybody and to have everybody say, you know, you're a good guy. And let me tell you, there are those who can tell me and who do tell me from time to time how to do that. It's just say things that everyone can agree with. And, you know, we've got a lot of people out in our churches today occupying pulpits who are doing that very thing. They are not going to deal with controversial subjects because they don't want to offend people, and they really genuinely don't believe we should be offending people. There are plenty of things that we can disagree on. And yet there are a lot of things that we can agree on. Why not just talk about the things we can agree on and avoid the disagreeable subjects? Friends, I would love to do that. I would be delighted to be able to do that. Unfortunately, I cannot. If that's what I wanted to do, I might as well just fold it up and quit and go home. And, you know, throughout the book of Acts, there are controversies after controversies, and they just seem to be waiting around every corner. We talked about speaking in tongues, and, you know, that's enough to get a lynch mob forming. And now we're down to this business of baptism. And let me just read to you what I read last week, and we'll take it up again in verse 41 then. Peter said to them in verse 38, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." Now, isn't that as clear as God could make it? Should there be any problem with that? Did Peter not say flatly here that it is through baptism that we receive receive remission of sins? Isn't that what it says? Then why would I be coming in here and saying to you, baptism does not save you. Salvation has nothing to do with baptism. I say that. I've said it last time. Here I'm saying it again. Am I not in direct contradiction of what Peter said here? Well, no, I'm not. And it is important that you understand this. And I, believe me, I have looked at this, I have read it, I have prayed about it, and I want to just ask you to hold your place there. We're going to come back to verse 41. Then, well, let's just read verse 41. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Now, here you are. Did baptism not save them? Well, I've got a little problem with that. I want you to just hold your place in chapter 2, and we'll get back to this later on. But we're just going to have to look at it right now. Go back to the 10th chapter of Acts. And we have Peter coming down to Cornelius' household. Now everything that has been done so far in Christendom has been done either with or to Jews. The whole thing is a Jewish operation, with the possible exception of this. We've got a ministry going on in Samaria now, and you will notice that Peter and John and some of the others have been down to Samaria, and these individuals are kind of mishlings. They're at least part Jewish. But we have got now, here is a group of absolute Gentiles. They are not Jewish. They have never been Jewish. No one ever suggested to them that they become Jewish. And actually, you know, when Peter was... Peter, God had to just about beat him about the head and shoulders to even get him to go down here, because he didn't want to go down and be associated with a bunch of Gentiles. It's the last thing in the world he wanted to do. And yet God gave him this vision, and so he couldn't do much but go down here. And when he gets down to Cornelius' household, Cornelius had sent for him because he had had a vision of an angel saying, send down to Joppa at the sea, to the house of Simon the Tanner. There's a man named Simon Peter there. Get him down here. He'll tell you words whereby you might be saved. Now, isn't that, you know, you think about that. In fact, let's go back and just read it here. He shall tell thee what thou oughtest to do, rather, is what he said. Okay? And Cornelius sent down to Joppa to Simon the Tanner's house, and they got Simon Peter down there. And when Peter came into Cornelius' house, Cornelius had his family and his friends and a whole bunch of people in there. And Cornelius explains to Simon Peter in verses 30 down through 33 of the 10th chapter of Acts why he sent for him. I saw this vision. I sent for thee. And Peter, in verse 34, says, of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons, but in every nation, he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. And Peter begins preaching to these individuals. And we get a sermon that Peter preaches. And he preaches, beginning with verse 36 down through verse 43, all about Jesus, about his being Messiah, about him being crucified, buried, and raised up from the dead. And he says in verse 43, to him give all the prophets witness, that through his name whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. Now, this is very important, and I hope you all get this and get it real strongly. Beginning with verse 36 and down through verse 43, Peter has not said a word to Cornelius or to his household or to any Gentile down here about being baptized. In verse 43, he simply says, whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. Now let's pick it up at verse 41. While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word. And they of the circumcision which believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost, for they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Then answered Peter, look at this now. Please look at this closely. Can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized who have received the Holy Ghost as well as we? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then prayed they him to tarry certain days. Do you see a difference in these Gentiles and in what happened to those Jews earlier? I do. I hope that you see this and take it in and look at it carefully. Peter told the Jews back in chapter 2, be baptized and you will be saved and receive the Holy Ghost. Here he tells these Gentiles, or those were Jews back in chapter 2, here he tells these Gentiles, be baptized because you have received the Holy Ghost. It was because they had done it. It was a sign of something that had happened. Now, these individuals were not filled with the Holy Spirit because they had not yet been saved. This filling of the Holy Spirit was a sign that they had been saved. And as a result of that, they were baptized. They were sealed. They were saved. All before they were baptized, and it was as a result of this that Peter said, we need to baptize them. Now, friends, if you can't see the difference between what happened to Cornelius and his household, these Gentiles, and what happened to these Jews back in chapter 2, if you don't see the difference in those two positions, I'll pray for you. But let me just tell you bluntly, nowhere in Scripture, anywhere, is any Gentile ever told to be baptized for the remission of sins? Nowhere are they ever. And if you know of a place where this is ever told or said to any Gentile, I want you to write me and tell me about it, because I'm not aware of it. Every time you ever see anything about baptism for the remission of sins, the Jews are involved in it. And it's something Jewish. Now, once again, and I know that the bulk of Christendom disagrees with me. All of the Roman Catholics and the Eastern Orthodox people believe in baptismal regeneration. They have it in the so-called Nicene Creed. I believe in one baptism for the remission of sins. Even the Episcopalians say that one, and I have to assume that they believe it. The Methodists certainly have that within their creed, and I don't know whether or not they believe it, but they certainly say it. I confess one baptism for the remission of sins. And here I am telling you that baptism has nothing to do with the remission of sins for the Gentile church. Now, I know that many of you out there are bound to be very offended by this. And many of you out there, once again, you've heard me talk on here about it, you see no difference in Israel and the church, and the guy talking to you right now sees a big difference in Israel and the church. And the whole church age, which once these Gentiles start coming in, there are major differences that we can see, and we will see them in the 15th chapter of Acts, for example. Peter and James and John and the apostles in Jerusalem stating flatly that the Gentiles are not under the law, that they have nothing to do with the law, that the law has nothing to do with them, that they do not have to become circumcised. They do not have to become Jewish proselytes. God is doing a new thing once the Gentiles start coming into the church, and it has nothing to do with the nation of Israel at all. Now, those of you who can't see this and who are having problems with this will no doubt be very offended by what you've just heard me say. But I am telling you, and let me just see if I can put the icing on the cake. I want you to turn back with me to 1 Corinthians, and this is a passage that many of you will probably, you've seen this before and probably heard it, but you may not have seen it and heard it taught the way it ought to be taught. Let's go back to 1 Corinthians, and here we have Paul now writing to a bunch of Gentiles. Now, they weren't all Gentiles. I'm sure there were Jews in this Corinthian assembly, but they were mainly a Gentile, a Greek, a bunch of Greeks. And let's pick it up at 1 Corinthians 1, verse 11, and let's read on down through verse 17. It hath been declared unto me of you, my brethren, by them which are of the house of Chloe, that there are contentions among you. Now this I say, that every one of you saith, I am of Paul, I am of Cephas, and I of Apollos, and I of Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you, or were ye baptized in the name of Paul? I thank God that I baptized none of you but Crispus and Gaius, lest any of you should say that I had baptized in mine own name. And I baptized also the household of Stephanus. Besides, I know not whether I baptized any other. Look at verse 17. Look at it closely. For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved it is the power of God. Now, I saw Hal Lindsey speak on this 17th verse of 1 Corinthians 1 on an occasion, and he was responding to a question. It was a question-answer type thing. He'd been speaking, and then he opened it up for question, and someone asked, is baptism necessary for salvation? And he said, no. And he said, look at verse 17, chapter 1. And he said, now look at, and he read it. And he said, if baptism had been necessary for salvation, Paul would never have said this. He would have been saying, where's the water tank? Let's get them baptized. Now, I think that Lindsey was correct, but I think that he missed the point. The real important point here is not Paul saying that baptism's not important. That's not what Paul's saying. He didn't think that. The important thing to notice, and I want you to look at it carefully in verse 17, Paul separates between the preaching of the gospel and baptism. Those are two different things. If you can't see this, once again, if you are so blinded by your preconceptions and your ideas of how you get saved, if you have been taught all of your life that you have to be baptized, either by sprinkling or immersion or whatever, to be saved, and you are so holding on to that idea and so committed to it that you absolutely cannot see and will not see this, then I can do nothing but pray for you. But for those of you who are open-minded enough and open-minded enough to still be taught, to still be able to say, listen, I have believed something all along here and I was wrong. If you are the least bit teachable and open-minded, I want you to look at this. Paul separates between baptism and the preaching of the gospel. Those are two different things. Christ did not send me to baptize. He sent me to preach the gospel. If baptism and the preaching of the gospel are the same things, then why, what sense can I make out of this? Why did Christ send him to do the one and not the other if the one is contained within the other? Am I reaching you? Look at this. He sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel. Now, why is that significant? Because Paul makes it very clear in Romans, that very famous and powerful passage in Romans 1, how you get saved. And this is what he says, I am not ashamed, Romans 1:16, of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. The preaching, it is the preaching of the cross. It is preaching and the preaching of the gospel that saves people. And Paul says, that's what I was sent to do. I wasn't sent to baptize. Now, let me tell you something. For those of you who are absolutely committed to the idea that if you're not baptized, you can't be saved. Once again, you're probably not going to pay a bit of attention to what I've just said. You're probably going to turn the radio off or go your way and say, well, that man's going to hell out there misleading all of these people. But some of you are at least open to being taught. Some of you have enough intellectual honesty to understand that maybe you don't know everything. I'd be very frank with you. This is one of my ongoing prayers. I pray to God that I have not gotten so set in my ways and so hardened that I can't be taught, that I'm not still teachable, that I still can't learn, that I can't say, and the most difficult thing to say in the world, according to an old buddy of mine named Don Welburn, is I was wrong. Are you still able to say that? Can you not see what Paul is saying here? Now, let me say this about this. Paul is not belittling baptism. Paul is not belittling baptism. Baptism is important. It is very important. There's no such thing in the New Testament that I know of, after the book of Acts begins and on through the end, as an unbaptized Christian. Christians were all baptized. That was, you know, the Lord said we should be. That's a part of the commandments. Make them, mark them, and mold them. You know, make them disciples and then baptize them and then start teaching them. That's a part of the thing. That is an outward testimony of what has happened to us, and we are to do it. And this, and once again, as you've heard me say before, and this has offended a bunch of you too probably, baptism is by immersion. That's what the word baptism means. And you can't make it mean anything else. But when you start telling people that unless they have been immersed in water, they are going to hell, let me tell you something. You had better look very carefully at what I have just said. And you had better see and understand the difference between Israel, back here in this early part of the book of Acts, and the church, the Gentile church, as it has developed. And you'd better particularly go back and read Paul and what he says about these Gentiles that are coming in. The Gentile church is not Israel. And even though these early Jews who were saved did in fact become a part of the church and were a part of the church, they were coming out of a system that they needed to separate from and separate clearly and cleanly and be over and done with. And there are things that happened, like these disciples here speaking in tongues, as we saw earlier, that happened in this early church that have never happened since and are not going to happen. Now, we are, and I'm glad to say, going to get off baptism now and go into other things. But I hope that all of you have listened very carefully to what I just said and that you'll take it in. This is Doug Miller. This is Dialogue.
Dialogue, exploring and considering the revelation of the God who created the vast star fields and the simple starfish. Have we communicated with you? Then why not communicate with us? Write to Dialogue, Post Office Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma, 73083. That's Post Office Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma, 73083. Be with us next week for Dialogue.